time when I was last talking about protection from evil, and we were basing this off of a passage that out of the Lord's Prayer where Jesus says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And as I was actually thinking about that this morning, I thought to myself, there's a word, and this really isn't part of the message, but I was thinking about this. This is where, how it works for me sometimes. It says, lead us not into temptation. There is this idea that sometimes we think we're doing this alone. And I mean, the prayer says, Father, lead us so that we don't go into temptation. Take us away from temptation. Lead us away from temptation and keep us from evil. So we've been talking about this idea of keeping us from evil. And the reason that we're talking about it is because we have an enemy. We have an enemy who is out to hurt the believer. He wants to take our life. He wants to destroy our life. And so his name is Satan. His name is the devil. He has several different titles. But the issue that is here is that he is unseen. He is not visible. And because he's not visible, sometimes it's easy to say, well, it's not possible. But we're going to talk today out of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 12. And we're going to turn to that. So if you would find that in your Bibles, Ephesians 6. But before we do that, I want to talk to you about something that happens in our world. So something that's physical. So most of the people that serve in our military or serve in our police forces or quite possibly also serve on our the DNR units, anybody who's in law enforcement wears one of these things. Now, this thing is, it must be 15 pounds. This is a bulletproof vest. It's not really what they call it, but that's what I would call it. And inside these panels are some protective materials. And so every morning these guys get up and they put one of these things on, like this. You slide this inside. This one happens to be Jordan Hansen's. He loaned it to me. It's an older one of his. And so he puts this on like this because it protects his vital organs. If there happened to be some type of a gunfight or a knife fight, he would be at least protected in his vitals. This is a vest. This is a protective piece of armor that we use today. And so as we talk about this today, I want you to think about this vest and something that you would put on every morning, okay? So he puts this on to protect himself, and we need to put ours on because we have a spiritual enemy that is trying to take advantage of us as well. And he's not shooting real bullets. He's shooting spiritual bullets. And I would have to say that if I had to compare the two, the real bullet and the spiritual bullet is much more dangerous because it involves something that is unseen that sometimes we don't really even understand how far it goes. So let's read chapter 6, beginning with verse 10, talking about the armor of God. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of unseen worlds, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you may be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And then after battling, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. And put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray also for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so that I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message, so pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. The first thing that we need to know is that we need to beware of Satan's lies. It says here, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. So first of all, we need to understand that Satan and the devil are one and the same. They're the same person. They are a created being. He fell from heaven because he wanted to be like God. And so God cast him out of heaven. And he said, you're my enemy. I'm going to fight against you and you're going to fight against me. But the strategies of the devil is to lie and to deceive. His intention is to deceive us. Now, deception is a lie. Every time you watch a magician work, he essentially is deceiving you. He's showing you one thing and doing another thing, and there's a lie taking place. It really didn't happen. Now, he wouldn't say that he's lying, but I would say that really deception is a lie. It's not the truth. It's really not what's going on. And if we remember this particular verse in 2 Corinthians, we know that it says that Eve was deceived in the garden. Paul, talking to the church of Corinth, says, but I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted. May I say that of us? I fear that our, including myself, pure and undivided devotion to Christ may be deceived, may be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. So at this particular point in history, Eve is a perfect being. She hasn't sinned. She hasn't done anything wrong. She is perfect. And yet, in her perfection, she still listened to the lie of Satan and was deceived and brought, as Adam did, brought sin into this world. And so, if they can do it, we need to be aware that Satan is out to get us and to lie to us and to deceive us. So, because of that, we know that our fight is spiritual. The fight in this world is a spiritual fight. Notice it says that we fight against evil rulers and authorities of an unseen world. It is not possible to see them, but they are still here. Okay? They live in the same realm we do. We just can't see them. And it says they are evil. They are rulers and authorities. In other words, they have an authority structure among themselves. They are mighty powers of a dark world. There are evil spirits in heavenly places. People say, well, I don't believe in demons. You know what? I look at this and I say, there they are. They're evil spirits. The truth of the scripture says that they exist. Okay? I may say, well, I can't see them, they're not here. But the truth of the scripture is that they do exist, and we do fight against them. And so sometimes we think, well, it's all in me. Well, it's not always all in you. Okay? We do fight against our flesh. Our flesh has desires that we need to contain. Okay? But at the same time, these spirits seek to move our flesh in the direction opposite of what God wants us to go. And so they tempt us to move our fleshly passions in the direction of selfishness and sin rather than in obedience to Christ. We're at war. And if you don't believe it, that's the reason you fall. If you do believe it, it's the reason you put on your armor every morning. You put on your bulletproof vest. You make yourself bulletproof from the arrows of Satan, because it is a spiritual war that we fight. And so Paul goes on to say, as God gives him instructions, he says, a final word, be strong in the Lord. Notice where our strength is at. Our spiritual strength is not in ourselves. We do not have the capacity to overcome the temptations. That's why Jesus said in his prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It is a dependence upon God that he wants. And he says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. The power of God is within us through the Holy Spirit. But we have to yield to that power that's within us. James 4:7 says, humble yourselves before God, bow before him, resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. There is a certain sense in here that God is a protector, but there is also a sense in that which we have responsibility to do what he has asked us to do, which is to humble ourselves before God. And then it says, put on all the armor of God. Put on his armor. Put on the things he's given to protect us. So if we go out into this world and we say, I'm just going to let God protect me, God would say, you're wrong. You need to put on some things personally. You have responsibility. He says, put on all the armor. Notice that doesn't say just put on some armor. He says, put it all on. And the idea of put it on is our responsibility. So the types of armor we have that we've read about. First of all, the belt of truth. The belt of truth was girded about the Roman soldier, and I think Paul was probably talking about the Roman soldier at this particular time because he was chained to a Roman soldier, and that's all he could see. And so he started to say, well, tell me about your belt, and tell me about your breastplate, and all the things that the Roman soldier... So that's why he has it in this terms. But let's take it and put it into a practical terms. The belt of truth, putting on the belt of truth. The belt is where everything hangs from. It's the secure of everything. But this is what the scripture says. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is truth. Okay? We also know that the word of God that we have in our Bibles is called truth. So we have the truth. And what is it that Satan fights us with? Lies. And so we have the truth, and he sends lies our way. And so there's some voice in here that we have to understand, what do we do with this stuff? So I have the truth, but what does it mean? Well, when you turn to this particular passage in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, although we live in these bodies, we do not war or fight according to the flesh. In other words, I can't box my way out of this thing. I can't shoot a gun and kill whatever's out there. It doesn't work. No arrows, no physical weapons work. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. So that means that whatever weapon it is spiritual. It is unseen. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Here's the point. The way you deal with the lies of Satan is you take the truth that you have and you compare it to the lie that's given. So when I teach this to people, they come into my office and we're dealing with the struggles that people have. And I say, well, you need to capture your thoughts. You need to take a hold of your thoughts. And they look at me like, how do you do that? Well, it's kind of like this. Okay, so you can see what's happening there. This batter has now hit a line drive right at the pitcher. And this pitcher has got three options. What are the three options? He can let it hit him. Okay, this guy is not going to do that. He can duck, or he can catch it. So I'm going to say to you that the lies of Satan are like a baseball that's been thrown at your head. Okay? And you have three choices. One is you can let it hit you. Punk. Oh, I hurt so bad. God, won't you help me with this? He says, why don't you just duck or catch it? Seriously. Okay? I don't know anybody that's on a baseball team that doesn't say, okay, put the glove up there, duck, and get out of the way. They don't purposely say, let it hit me. Only Christians say, let it hit me. I'm going to keep doing it. Doesn't matter. You know what? Oh, yeah, that hurt a little bit. I think I can keep going. Okay, that's what we do. When we continually, willfully sin with the Lord, that's what we're saying. You know, it doesn't hurt too bad. So what I'm saying to you is, the thing you need to do is catch it. Catch the lie. So how do you do that? So someone, a lie comes to you, it's kind of like, so I was using this illustration the other day about bubble gum. Okay, so let's just say that bubble gum is your addiction, okay? And so you take one piece of bubble gum, you say, oh, that's really good. And then you say, well, I'm going to take another piece, and you put it in the same mouth. So now you got two pieces in your mouth. And then you think to yourself, well, I'm going to put another one in. And the lie is, it doesn't matter how much bubble gum you get in your mouth, you'll be okay. Well, until your mouth is full. Okay, I know that's a silly illustration, okay? But here's the lie. The lie is, it doesn't matter how much I do. It doesn't matter if I do this. Nobody cares. Nobody will know. Nobody will get hurt but me. The truth is, it does matter because I'm connected to people, okay? It does matter because God has said I'm supposed to be in control of my body and not supposed to just eat everything that's out there, okay? The truth, so you have the truth and the lie. And so you look at the truth and you look at the lie and you say, this is what I'm going to follow. You choose this one and you take this one and you throw this back at the one who threw it at you. You toss it back and you say, in the name of Jesus, I will not believe that lie. That's how you do this thing called taking every thought captive. You grab it, you examine it. This really is important when you're watching TV. Okay? There are tons of lies that are coming at you when you're watching whatever you're watching. Okay? I'm not saying you shouldn't watch it. I'm just saying you should examine and criticize and be critical of whatever's coming at you and say, well, that's not true. That's not true. But that's true. That's pretty good. Or when you're listening to things on the radio, you're listening to music. Music has all kinds of lies in it. I don't care which kind of music you're listening to. There's even some Christian music out there that I'm not sure that is totally right. And, by the way, I think there's some hymns that are not quite right. Okay? So I'm not saying what you're listening to. I'm just saying examine what you're listening to, examine what's coming into your head, and ask yourself the question, is this true or is this not true? And then get rid of what's not true and hang on to what is true. The next thing we need to do is put on the breastplate of righteousness. It says, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around and the breastplate of righteousness in place. That's the part that this vest covers. It covers the vital organs, the breastplate of righteousness. What does that mean? Well, the idea here is that this is the righteous acts that we have. This is the obedient acts of a child of God. The one who's listening to the truth and applying the truth to his life, it becomes righteousness. Now, we know that the scripture tells us that we are righteous, that Jesus is our righteousness. He's our righteousness. That means before God, he is the one that makes us right. We're okay. But our righteous acts, the things we do, and the character we develop because of obedience, becomes the breastplate of righteousness. It's the thing that protects your internal organs. Is your obedience to the truth is what makes up this breastplate. And then it says, put on the shoes of the gospel. For the shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news. When you trust Christ as your Savior, you believe the good news. And the good news is now what's on your feet. It's peace. It's peace between you and your brother, peace between you and God. And so it becomes the thing that allows us to share the good news. Now, I'm jumping forward here in this one because Romans 6, 19 and 20 is really Paul's prayer request to these people at Ephesus. And he says, and pray for me too. This is a really interesting prayer. You know who we're talking about here, don't you? We're talking about the Apostle Paul. This is like the most important man in all of Christianity. I mean, if anybody had it together, he had it together. Look what he says. Ask God to give me the right words to say so that I can boldly explain God's mysterious plans, that the good news is for the Jews and the Gentiles alike. He wrote the book. And yet he's saying, pray that God would give me the right words. This is what I pray every Sunday morning. God, give me the right words. Because it doesn't come natural. And then he goes on, he says, I'm in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador, so pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Pray for opportunities, pray for boldness. That's what he's saying. Why? Because the shoes of peace are intended to move us into the battle. The gospel that we have on our feet is intended to move us forward into the battle. And those shoes that those Roman soldiers wore were sandals that were strapped to their feet, but in the bottom of the sandals were nails that went down into the ground. So they were cleated. They're like our football shoes or our soccer shoes. They have cleats on them so that they can move forward and not be pushed backwards. And then he says, take up the shield of faith. In addition to all these things, hold on to the shield of faith that'll stop the fiery arrows of the devil. So when a Roman soldier went into battle, he had a shield that was about 4 foot tall and 2 foot wide. And this shield was made out of wood and then was covered on the outside with leather, and then had some metal on the outside of that thing. And so he literally could duck down totally behind that shield. And you've seen the movies where they have the shield and then the shield over top, and they make this kind of this protective area. Well, they're protecting themselves from the arrows, but they're also protecting themselves from the sight of those arrows, because the arrows were not just arrows. They were arrows dipped in tar, and they were flaming. Now, if you saw 1,000 arrows coming at you that were on fire and coming towards you, it would freak you out. Me too. Okay? So the arrows were intended to distract, and the arrows were intended to incite fear. That's what they are for. So it didn't have to hurt you, didn't have to hit you to incite distraction and fear. So you wouldn't think to pull up your shield, wouldn't think about the guy coming at you. You'd be thinking about the arrows, and then the guy's coming at you, and now you're in trouble. So what's the shield for? The shield is to pull up so that you can see what's coming at you, and the shield would take the arrows that are on fire and land on there, and then they would be extinguished because of the way it was constructed. So the shield is intended to prevent you from distraction and fear. But it's a shield of faith. Faith is, I believe that what God's truth says will happen. I believe what he said and is true, what he said in the Bible is true, and if I trust it, it's going to happen. It's trust in God. Believing that what God has said will happen is the shield of faith. It is the thing that extinguishes and takes away fear. Faith defeats fear. And then the helmet of salvation. Put on your salvation as a helmet. This is the thing that protects our mind. So our mind is in our head, and it is the mind that needs truth. So the truth that I've been given, comes into my mind, and it changes the way I think. It transforms who I am, and it is my salvation. It's the thing that literally saves me all at once. And the last thing is the sword of the Spirit. And take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word, the rhema of God. So there are two Greek words for the word, W-O-R-D. Our English word has two Greek words that are attached to it. One is called logos, okay? Logos means written word, okay? Scribe would put down the written word of God. And rhema means spoken word. This is a phrase, spoken word. It says the sword of the Spirit, which is the spoken word of God. It's interesting that when you go back to where Jesus was tempted, this is what it says. And Jesus answered, he spoke the word of God. It is written, he spoke the written word of God. And what happened? Satan was defeated. He was resisted. It takes the spoken word of God, the spoken written word of God, to defeat Satan. That's why we should memorize Scripture. I know everybody says, I can't do that. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. We memorize all kinds of stuff. It's just what's important to us that we memorize. Why should you memorize? Because when the arrow's coming at you, when you are tempted in the situation, you need to have some spoken word. You need some written word that you can speak. And so my suggestion is pick one verse where you're tempted. Take the temptation area that you have struggled with and memorize a verse that's related to it. Okay? If you struggle with lust, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. If you struggle with assurance of salvation, go to 1 John 5, 13, 12 through 13. Okay, so pick what you struggle with. If you need some verses, talk to me. I would gladly give you some topical verses, one, that'll help you. But memorize it. Get it in your head. Review it. Think about it. Because it is in that we speak what God has written down, and the truth becomes powerful in our regard. And the last thing he says in this passage is that we're to stay alert in prayer. When you are in a battle, sometimes the battle has lulls. And in those lulls is a time when you tend to fall asleep. And he says, pray in the Spirit at all times and every occasion. Stay alert and persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Our prayers are what keep us alert. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That verse, that prayer has become priority number one in my life in the last 3 to 4 months. Keep me from evil. I don't want to walk there. I don't want to go there. Lord, lead me out of this stuff. And then I started going back to some verses that I'd memorized, and I started picking them back up again and reviewing them. And I started working on that. And so stay alert in prayer. So let me share with you something that maybe brings some practical thoughts to this. Last week we had a special speaker. Doug Snyder was here, and Doug is a fine man. He really is. He loves the Lord with all his heart. His family, you could see the love for Jesus in their loves and their desires. But Doug and I were talking in our home on Saturday night, and we were discussing this illustration he had with Thomas that he did earlier in the afternoon. And then he explained some more to me, and I said, well, I think we ought to do that on Sunday morning. I think that'd be a good demonstration of the power of thought, a power of thoughts in the lives of people. And so when he got on stage and he did that, I was sitting right down there, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, I don't like this. I don't like this at all. I don't like these negative thoughts. I don't like even having them projected. I don't want them in the building. But the illustration's going on, and it's happening, okay? And I'm thinking to myself, what did we do? And then later on in that message, Doug was reading a passage of Scripture, and he was reading this section out of Philippians. Let me read this for you. It says here, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thought. And if you remember, if you were here, you remember what was happening at that point. Doug was choked up. He couldn't hardly speak. He was in tears, wasn't he? And then it says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable, and think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me and everything you've heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. And he's crying at this point, and he says, I don't know why I'm crying. I don't know why this is doing this to me. And I didn't realize this until I got into my office on Monday morning, and I'm thinking to myself, so what was going on? The Spirit of God said to me, I was protecting you. That's what he said. I was protecting you. I was protecting this body. Because you were deceived, referring to me. I was deceived thinking that it wouldn't matter what he did in that illustration. And yet, the Spirit of God comes over Doug, and he's tearful. Because this says, we are to fix our thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. And that wasn't what was happening earlier. So here's the point. Even in a church service, Satan can sometimes deceive, and even pastors can be deceived. The benefit of this is this, that we have been praying, I have been praying, God, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he, this last Sunday, did that. And then he said to me, you need to tell this church what happened. And you need to understand that we were delivered last Sunday, even in this service. And I think to myself, if you touch this many people with that kind of negative stuff, it's kind of like you're gonna cause some problems. But then he says, don't do that. Fix your thoughts on things that are good and right and true. And grab onto the thing that was wrong. Does it matter that somebody had negative thoughts in this service? The Scripture says, think in what is true and excellent and worthy of praise. And I take this one and I say, this is false. And I throw it back at the one who sent it, which was Satan himself. And I said, we'll not have that. So I apologize to you for that illustration. But I also exhort you to say, remember, that this is an illustration of what we're up against. We're up against a battle we can't see, But the Spirit of God is the one who's leading us out of the wickedness, away from that which is wrong. And he's laying the truth in front of us, and he's saying, would you please pick up the truth and examine it and compare it to the lie, and then throw the lie away and choose the truth. So as we end this morning, I just want to encourage you. You fight a battle against an unseen foe. That unseen foe doesn't care where you're at or what you're doing. He's going to attack you when you're most vulnerable. And at the same time, we see on their side that we are strong in the power of Jesus Christ and in the things that he's given us. We're strong in his truth. We're strong in his breastplate, the application of that truth. We're strong in the gospel that's on our feet. We're strong in the shield of faith that's in front of us. We're strong in the offensive sword of the Spirit, which is the spoken word of God. We're strong with the helmet of salvation on us. We put all those things on. And if I would say one thing about that, if you think about all those things, they all represent who Jesus is. They all represent who Jesus is. I will follow you. I will humble myself before you, Lord Jesus. You are my Lord and my master. I will do what you ask me to do. And so I encourage you, put on your body armor. Put on your body armor today. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father God, we've been taught and we've been encouraged and exhorted. And now, Lord, you have said to us, now it's time to do it. So for all of us right now, I pray this prayer. Lord, I want to put on all of your armor today. I want to live in the truth. I want to live by faith. I want to have obedience to protect my internal organs. I want to be moving forward with the gospel of peace and sharing the gospel with the people around me. Father, open opportunities for me and make me bold so that others can know the hope that I have. Lord, keep us from evil. Lead us not into temptation so that we can be men and women who are fighting the battle for you and with you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. At the doors today, you will have an opportunity to give to the benevolent offering. Thanks for being here. Be safe.